Looking at the book of Hebrews, this time this is all in an introduction. On a Sunday morning, we would have covered all of these devotions in one service, but in our devotional time that we have here, I've broken it up. But it's good for my heart. I trust it may be good for yours to think about these different aspects. But tonight we're going to look at how the book of Hebrews is a book that teaches us about having a proper expectation about life. I put it this way. And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the words of exhortation. Oh, I did the wrong one again. I did that before. The book of evaluation, it's a book of evaluation. What we're talking about there is to remind us that the book really stresses how much better Christ is than in anything else. The law, Moses, he is it. And we need to be personally in our studies looking for Jesus. You know, he is the key. He is the one that we are literally placed into the body of Christ. What a phenomenal truth that is. And then the exhortation, and I pointed out that maybe it isn't for all of you, but for me, the word exhortation, I think of my father correcting me when I've really messed up. But it really isn't first and foremost that. It's translated very often as a comfort and an encouragement. It has that aspect of it. Yes, it is a confronting with, hey, you ought not to be doing this. And I put the five warning passages in there. And the warning passages say, you know, be careful about taking the word flippantly, not being serious about the word. And it really brings an emphasis on the importance of God's word in our lives. Now, having said that, we live in a culture where the word is freely available to us. But yet the average Christian spends very little serious time in study of the word. And that, therefore, the exhortation passages are very applicable to us. Because we are not sitting there without any word written in our language, our native tongue, the tongue that we've grown up with. No, it's there, and it's there in many, many different translations and many different formats. Yet, we don't, as a group, at least as, doesn't seem to be the hunger. We ought to pray for one another in that regard, that we would hunger to study the Word. Pray for one another, we would hunger to understand it accurately. And when I say hunger, we'd really have a longing to do this. That's one of the great blessings of visiting my daughter at Teen Challenge. Now, there's a lot of things to break a heart of a dad when his daughter is in Teen Challenge. The mere fact that they got there, that's heartbreaking. But it is so phenomenally encouraging to see her now really grappling with understanding biblical doctrine and how to apply it. And she's in an environment where she is confronted with doctrine that she hasn't grown up with, and she's trying to make sure she understands it and can defend her position properly. Well, that's what this book is about. See, this book, the book of Hebrews, is not for wimps. Fact is, he gets on the case of the people he's writing to and say, you guys are wrong in that you're still feasting on the milk when you ought to be eating the meat. In other words, going deeper. The examination. Fact is, that was last week, so I'm going to do a little bit of review, so I'll save that. But this week, we're going to look at the expectation. And then next week, we'll end this introduction, and then we'll start studying the passages. But it is the book of exaltation, the lifting up of Christ. Now, going back to this evaluation that we talked about last week. Well, I wanted to go through my definitions of each one. I wrote this summary, or actually, I got this summary from someone. The Epistle of Hebrews is a book of evaluation proving that Jesus Christ is better than anything the law of Moses has to offer, or angels, or anything else, as a matter of fact. And then it is also an exhortation. The book of Hebrews is a book of exhortation, urging its readers to hear and heed the Word of God, lest they regress spiritually and experience the chastening hand of God. Now, that latter phrase is an important phrase to recognize because it's found in the book. It isn't just encouraging us to get into the Word. It is warning us that there is a price to pay if we don't. The chastening hand of God. Now, for that, we ought to be grateful for, not bothered by, because He chastened us as a father who loves his children. Not so that he can get vengeance or, set the situation right, but to guide the child in the way that is most productive and beneficial. It's a book of examination, and it helps you discover where your faith really rests. And the issue here is that resting on the things of this world, or are you anchored in what's really critical? Now, I'll tell you what, this really comes to the forefront when you are faced with life crisis. When all of a sudden the path that you were planning to go is stripped from us for whatever reason. What are you trusting in? It is so easy to trust in our own plans and trust in the game plan we have together until it gets crushed. Often that happens to point us to the Lord and the expectation, the one we're going to look at predominantly tonight. God wants us to turn loose from the things of this world, which is not easy. This is way harder. It is so easy to trust in the money that we have, or the retirement that we have, or the fact that we have a house, or the fact that we have a family. It's just things horizontal. But let me say, it is dangerous for a believer to get too dependent on horizontal things, because God is a jealous God. He wants us to trust and rest in Him. And live with our hearts focused on our eternal home. You get so consumed with just taking care of the affairs of the day. No, we as believers, we got to be very cautious. We ought to work hard. We ought to be diligent. We ought to do our best to keep things together and, things in order and do things decently in order. There's no question we shouldn't just be lazy and not show up for work or irresponsible. I'm not saying that. But in the efforts of being responsible and a good steward of the opportunities we have, we need to keep our eyes on eternity. Lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. It is the Lord. And the really important matter is not this time, which is described as a time of vapor. It's a puff of smoke, in other words, relative to eternity. No matter what age you are, we need to be mindful we're to live for eternity. Book of Hebrews. Now I want to review very quickly. I see you by the time very quickly. What are you trusting in? And how do you realize that? Well, you realize it when you hit the wall. And then what causes you to break you? Then you know what often it is? It really is a revealing of what you're leaning on. What you've really been resting on. Hebrews talks about how he shook and he shakes the world. You see that concept in the book over and over again. What is it talking about here? It is talking about taking our lives when you think it's going smooth. And then in a split second, all of a sudden things change. I remember 2 years ago when Pam got sick. We've been healthy our whole life. And you pretty soon get really comfortable with this concept. Well, we don't have to take prescription medication. We don't have any of these other issues going on. And then, whammo, just in the middle of the night, she got sick. And then she was really sick. We go to the hospital, and we were there for several days. Boy, was that a reminder. What are you trusting in? God does that very type of thing in all of our lives to make sure and to bring us back, actually, to what's really important. It's Him. We can be secure while everything around us falls apart if we're anchored in Jesus Christ. That's how the martyrs did it, all the way to losing their life. I was very stunned by the news story that came out of France, where ISIS was finally starting to manifest what they have been saying they were going to do for the last 2 years, is that take their jihad to the heart of Christendom. And so they went into a Roman Catholic church. They took several people hostage and ultimately beheaded one of the oldest priests before the eyes of the others. Okay. That could happen here. In the midst of it, will we give Jesus Christ the glory? Will we do it in such a way that God is glorified? Those are good questions to be asking ourselves, because the best way to respond properly in a crisis is to already have determined how you're going to respond. Hebrews says, which cannot be shaken. He's talking about the kingdom in heaven. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is rock solid. The book of Hebrews now we're talking about the expectation, and I have 10 minutes to get through this material. Book of Hebrews is a book of expectation. I did that before, and it has everything to do with not clinging horizontally to the things of this world, but to have what we're holding on to and resting on being eternal. Our Lord Jesus Christ, His Word, the things that have eternal value. A.W. Tozer used to remind us, every man must choose his world. That's a good quote. The truth is, every man and every woman is choosing what world they're living in all the time. And if you do not consciously say, you know what, I am going to choose eternity. I am going to choose to honor Jesus Christ and eternal values. It is so easy to live for the temporal. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 5, the true believers have tasted the good word of God. This is the quote from the verse. And the power of the world to come. That's what the Word of God is telling us, that if you are a genuine believer, and I look out and I know for the testimony of most in here, and I suspect people that are coming on Wednesday night all have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's just make that assumption for right now. If you're here and you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, the book of Hebrews is reminding us you have already tasted the beauty of the eternity. And it ought to cause you to live differently. You ought not to be as satisfied with the temporal. This should result in us having no interest or appetite for the present sinful world system. But listen, it's a battle. You know that? It is a battle. We want things temporally. We want things the way we think they should be. But be careful. The book is focused on the future, and that is a great reminder to us. When you get up and you go about your day, Brendan, what you were talking about, it's the very prayer request you were asking for in my mind, is as you're going through the struggles of managing a group of people, may I do it in such a way that eternally it has value. You see what I mean? It eternally has value for you. It has value because it reflects our great God and the way we're responding to it. But that's not easy. Notice, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. You might want to just write these references down. They're kind of fun to look at as a group. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. For he who has not put the world to come. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak in subjection to angels. Now, what is he pointing to? The world to come. He's pointing to the eternity. That's one of the references. You see, it's again, you saw it earlier in verse 2 of chapter 1. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Talking about heir of all things, and you're going to see how that ties together in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death for the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. See that he has received all the whole inheritance and he shares it. We become joint heirs with him. And it is to be motivating us to say, wow, I am living for eternity. It's the very thing that we teach younger people. Say, hey, you know what? It's really wise for you to put some of your money away in savings. It's really wise for you to invest strategically and consistently over your whole life. Because time is your friend. And if you will do that, your financial stability will be vastly different than the other person who lives for the temporal. You see what I'm saying? Well, Jesus is telling, or the book of Hebrews is telling us, remember that principle, but take it well beyond this world and take it into eternity. Invest in souls. Invest in living a life that is set apart for the Lord Jesus Christ, that brings Him glory. Because God notes this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. In this 10 through like 16, 18, 26, 10 through 26, it talks about he waited for the city. He's talking about the new Jerusalem. He's waiting for this new city that was driving him. He was not getting caught up in the pressures. He was waiting for the Jerusalem. So should we, by the way. You know, and we live in a day and age where, you know what, we may not, those of us in here, could easily be that generation that doesn't even see death. And we're taken up there and we're brought back in the midst of the grandeur of our great God coming back as the lion, as the king. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. He prepared a city for them. In 11 and 13, he says, they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. That is an important, that's who we are. This is not our home. Eternity is our home with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not the main event. This is a puff of smoke. He says these things over and over and over and over again, and yet we exhaust ourselves in the pursuit of temporal things and trying to arrange temporal things and getting exasperated with temporal things. How are you doing? See the point of the book? That's where it's heading. The truth is, we are victims of this very thing. We are caught up in the rat race and we aren't living. We're living as this is the main event. And we get very exasperated when things aren't the way we think they should be. When the way things are is not the critical issue. It's how we respond to them that is. We control our response. The circumstances, for the most part, can many, many, many cases be something you have no control over. As much as you want, and as much as you make an effort to adjust them, they just don't adjust. And he's trying to deliver a message, but we don't hear very well. God wants us to turn loose from the things of this world. He doesn't want us to be. It captivates, it controls it, it burdens us. People get ulcers, they have heart attacks. Stop depending on the temporal stuff. This does not mean that we're so heavenly minded that we have no earthly good. I'm not trying to promote here that, you know what, just get up tomorrow morning and spend the whole day in prayer and the whole day reading your Bible and get fired from work because you didn't show up. I'm not advocating that. That is not what I'm advocating. But I am advocating that you go throughout the day mindful that Jesus Christ is right there with you. And be asking yourself, how can I bring Him glory in the midst of this? How can I respond in such a way that I am a good ambassador? It means that we hang loose as far as the world is concerned. In other words, we chill out. My one son said to me today, he was under a lot of pressure. I said, "How are you handling this? Are you struggling with, how are you handling this?" He says, "You know what? There is no reason why any of us should be getting ulcers." He says, "We just do our best." That was such a good response from him. You just do your best to do right, to honor God in the midst of it. I love the response. He's right on. And, the outcome is the Lord's. He can turn it around. He can flip it over in a second. Just do right. And by the way, he says to do right in the midst of rejoicing in him. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The attitude of faith modeled by our Savior. Notice the verse in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. He modeled exactly how we are supposed to be going through life, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You get the point that I'm trying to bring out here? He was looking beyond the cross, and he endured it because of it, because he had his anchor in eternal matters. And that's, by the way, how we should do this. That's the way we ought to face our daily challenges. Looking beyond, but always, it isn't saying we ran from it. No, he walked right through it. Since you have become dull of hearing, here's the point. I remind you, when you look at this passage 5, and you could go all the way through, half of 6, it is such a powerful reminder that this book is not written for the wimp. It's written for those that want to get serious and grow and really be the individual that God called us to be. Don't get dull. Don't be satisfied with milk. That's one of the blessings of our group devotional, Behold Your God. It is challenging us to see God afresh, even if we have walked with the Lord now decades. Hebrews chapter 5 again. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. May we be of full age. May we use every aspect of our worship together and our private worship, our private study of the Word, to become strong, strong Christians. I go back to this. Every man, we could say every man and every woman, must choose his world. True believers have tasted the good Word of God and the powers of the world age to come. We've tasted it, but have you forgotten it? This should result in a change in the way we look at life. For what world does your heart long? And if it is longing for the temporal, my challenge to you is to seriously get alone with the Lord and ask Him to help you change your focus. It is truly something we need to go before Him and repent of, because it is sin when we hold something dear. It is really an idol. And God is not impressed with that, and it always brings problems. May that not be us. Now, I say that recognizing that many times people say, "Well, that's good for a Dr. McLaughlin. He can do that." And we pick others that seem to be used in a broader way. But it's just me. Does God really even know where I am? And the point is, He is in the business of using those that, from the world's standpoint, are nobodies. All you have to do is look at the Christmas story. Mary. She was just a very, very poor young person. But God put her hand on her, used her mightily. I think of the shepherds. They were the outcasts of the culture. And God uses them to do the initial proclamation of the greatness of what was going on. So why don't you stand with me.